Thanks for tuning in to today's Horsewoman Podcast. Our show explores women in the horse industry as they share their dreams, challenges, successes. What drives these women? Well, let's find out. Good morning. This is Rose Cushing with today's Horsewoman, and we're so excited. We have Camille McCutcheon with us this morning, and she just won an Extreme Mustang Makeover. So, Camille, welcome to the show.
Howdy. Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about the makeover that you just did.
Well, for those of you who may not know, the Extreme Mustang Makeover is a training competition where trainers have roughly 100 days to pick up a wild Mustang, train it, and then compete under saddle in a variety of different classes.
And so how many people were involved in this particular makeover? How many trainers?
I believe over 100 trainers originally picked up horses, but for different reasons, trainers have to drop out sometimes. Sometimes the horse isn't quite ready for the competition. Sometimes things come up during the training period. So about 55 trainers actually made it to the event.
Right. And if I remember correctly, the Mustang Heritage Foundation started these makeovers to help not only educate America about the value of the American Mustang, but also to save some of these horses that had been rounded up and didn't have a place to go, and let people adopt them for a small fee after they've had some training. And then the Mustang Makeover horses have had a lot of training, and they're auctioned off at the end to prospective homes that have been checked out. Is that correct?
Yes. So the makeover is all about showcasing the versatility and the trainability of the American Mustang. It's all about showing people what these horses can do, because they're pretty misunderstood. A lot of people think Mustangs are pretty much the craziest and most untrainable horses out there, and that's just not true. So it's about showing what can be done with a Mustang, even in just a short time period, and really making them more adoptable to the public eye.
I know in all my years of doing equine broadcasting, which is more than I care to admit, I have learned that I don't know of any discipline that Mustangs have not competed and ranked high in across the board against other horses that were born to do that specific thing. I mean, everything from dressage to reining. And I mean, they're just incredible animals, and they're incredibly smart.
Yeah, they really are. You'll see Mustangs can either be a jack of all trades, in which you'll get one that's really good at a lot of things, or you'll find that one special Mustang that really has the talent and ability to go extremely far in one discipline.
Absolutely.
You'll find that in endurance, a lot of the winners these days are Mustangs, and people are starting to reconsider that maybe the Arabians aren't the gold standard for endurance anymore.
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing that I've learned over the years is that these horses are incredibly healthy. They don't have a lot of health problems that, you know, other breeds of horses seem to have and that are inherent to them, because over time, you know, it's the survival of the fittest, because they're wild and they have good hooves and they have good constitutions, and they're really easy to own and keep.
Yeah, it's true. I find that Mustangs are a lot hardier than domestic horses, and my vets will agree with me. I'll bring in a Mustang and I'll be worried about one little thing, and they'll tell me, you know, if we saw this on a thoroughbred, we might be worried, but this is a Mustang. You know, we're not worried about this at all.
Absolutely. It's kind of like dogs. We've ruined our dogs because we don't feed them anything except special dog food, and now their systems can't take anything but special dog food. So thank God
right.
We haven't screwed up the Mustangs yet.
Right.
So when you go to do a Mustang makeover, do you get a chance to choose your horse?
In previous years, they've given trainers the option to choose. There have been some years where it's been a bidding format where trainers can bid on the Mustang that they want to compete at or compete with, and that's the player's choice makeover. I've done that one before. But this year it was all random. It kind of typically is just that random draw.
Right.
You don't know what you're going to get until it's pretty much in your trailer on the way home.
Right. And so with your most recent horse, did you have the highest selling horse at the Mustang Makeover auction?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
And what did he go for?
$35,000.
That's pretty impressive. The last one I went to was a while back. I went to watch Marsha Sapp in Florida. Uh-huh. And she had the highest selling horse then. That's probably been 10 years, but she had, it went for $8,000. So, you know, it's good that people are seeing their value and that the horse prices have gone up so much of the last couple of years that the Mustang prices reflect that because they are valuable animals.
Right, right. People have really started to see the value in Mustangs.
Absolutely. Now tell me a little bit about, you know, when you go get your horse and you get it home, how do you begin?
Well, first I'd like to take at least a few minutes to kind of view the personality of the horse. Mm-hmm. You know, when they first step off the trailer, are they running around with their head high and their tail in the air? Or do they step off kind of slow and start to sniff their surroundings and really take everything in? So I spend a good few minutes just watching them. I might take some pictures. I might see how they react if I were to clap my hands or cough or sneeze or something like that. Just really start to take in where they're at.
Right.
And, once I get in the pen with them, I try and keep that in mind and try to work with the horse's personality. You've got to work with the horse that you've got in front of you and really start to build that communication between the two of you.
And so do you try to do a halter on them the first day, or how do you, and get their number off, or how do you do that?
You know, it really depends on the horse. For the Mustang Makeover, a lot of people like to get them with the halter already on because they can pick up a drag rope and start teaching them how to lead and how to give pressure right away. But I've always preferred to leave the halter and the line off. I'm a big fan of establishing communication through body language with the horse, and so that's typically what I try to do in the first session, is just teach them what my body language means and start to form that line of communication between me and the horse. And if we get the halter on first day, you know, that's great. If not, I'm not too worried about it. I'm more worried about forming that partnership than about checking off boxes on a list of things to do with the horse.
Right. Right. Well, that makes perfect sense, you know, that you want it to be on his time schedule for a while.
Uh-huh.
And so what kind of things do you try to work them on? You have them for 100 days, is that right?
Yes, give or take 100 days. It's usually about 4 months is the training period. And I like to, you know, like I said, start to form that communication. But from there, it really is about getting things done within that time period.
Right.
So I try to train, keeping in mind that this horse is going to go to a new owner, and they're going to have to, you know, learn how to be ridden by someone else, be handled by someone else. So I try and get as many other people as I can to ride and handle that horse. And I try and teach them the skills needed to succeed in the domestic world. So it's not so much about the tricks and the flashy stuff, although that can really help you out in the competition. It's about, can this horse load up on the trailer every single time without complaint? Can they go to new places and be the same horse? Can they be ridden by different people? Can they be able to behave in a show environment, or be able to be a safe partner down the trail? Because a lot of people are looking for a Mustang that's really safe and comfortable to ride on the trail.
Right, right. I really appreciate you saying that and having that viewpoint, because one thing I found with the Mustang people specifically is that it's all about the horse. It's not about winning the competition. It's not about being famous. It's all about giving back and making that horse the best horse he can be. And I'm glad that the younger generation is, that's how they've learned and that's what they respect. So bravo.
Thank you. Yeah, I really enjoy competing in the Mustang world because a lot of Mustang people have that mentality. It's all about the horse.
Yep.
And less about competition. And everyone that I've competed with has become a friend.
Yeah.
The Mustang world is really about community and about coming together to help these Mustangs, not about who can win and who plays tired of who and that sort of stuff. More about politics, more about sports.
Absolutely. That's one thing I've always fallen in love with ever since I met Mary Miller Jordan 20 years ago. You know, I mean, just an amazing group of people that I've been very honored to have the opportunity to get to know. So you got your horse going, and I saw pictures of your freestyle, and it was breathtaking. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I have this freestyle idea in mind. Sometimes an idea comes to me, and I think about it a while, and then I put it away until I have the chance to use it. And going into the competition, it's a little bit of a gamble because you don't really know if you're going to make the top 10 or not. The top 10 that go on to the finals are the only ones that get to do a freestyle.
Right.
So planning for the freestyle, building the props, buying the costume, it's kind of a little bit of an investment in your horse and kind of saying, hey, I've got to do good enough to be able to put these props to use. So I had that idea for a while, and the last couple of weeks of the competition, I decided, you know what, I'm going to start putting this freestyle together, and I'm going to bet on my horse that we make it to the finals, and we get to make this freestyle happen. And going into the competition, you know, during the freestyle, I think the part that won me a lot of points and really won the crowd's favor was halfway through the freestyle, I took the bridle off, and we did the rest of it with just that neck rope on her, and I hadn't ridden her bridle list except for the day before we left for the competition.
Wow.
It was something I wanted to try on her and see if she was going to be good at it, and really about having a fun memory to look back on as well, because the horse sold at the competition, and she's not my horse anymore, so it's kind of about having one last really cool ride before we leave for the competition, and then I have to say goodbye to her. So I tried that bridle list right before we left for the competition, and she was amazing at it. And I joked afterwards, I was like, looks like I have to change my freestyle now. And then I got to really thinking about it, and I said, you know what, I am going to change my freestyle. I'm going to take the bridle off. And so that's what we did, and it really worked out for us. I think the judges like to see you take risks. And that was definitely a risk, but it worked out in my favor in the end.
What a wonderful symbolism of the trust that you had built between the two of you. I mean, that's just so amazing. And I'm proud of you for doing that because, you know, it is about trust with any horse. And to give it all you got and put it on the line and hope she'll pick up the back end and do the right thing, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and I've done a few makeovers now, and she's definitely the horse that I've probably trusted the most and just developed that relationship with. Her and my personality is really matched really well, and I think that's part of the reason why we were successful is that partnership that we built over the 4 months was really, really strong by the time we got to the competition.
Absolutely.
Hey y'all, this is Lonnie from Mule City Specialty Feeds located in Benson, North Carolina. It's almost springtime. Is your horse blooming? Does your horse have a shiny coat and healthy hooves? How much extra time and money are you spending mixing supplements in the feed room when you could be enjoying your horse in the arena or out on the trail? Then look no further. Mule City Specialty Feeds has a line of equine feeds that delivers maximum nutrition from your performance horse to your weekend trail horse. Our line of Maximum Nutrition Equine Feeds offers 5 different complete balanced formulas that will take you out of the feed room and into the saddle. In addition to equine feeds, we also offer complete feeds for your barnyard pets and livestock. For more details, visit our website at mulecity.com, follow us on Facebook, or give us a call at 1-800-587-9229. And don't forget, Mule City delivers.
Now, for the folks listening that haven't seen your freestyle, tell us a little bit about what you did.
Well, I chose the song Wellerman, which is a sea shanty that's become a little bit popular. You'll hear it on TikTok and Instagram Reels. It's a really catchy song, and it's about a whaling ship that goes to sea, and the captain wants to hunt down this whale that they found. And it's a little bit like the story of Moby Dick. There's this great battle between the whale and between the captain. So I thought it would be a little bit fun to kind of go with that. It has a really good rhythm for riding. And right when that song came on and we rode out, the audience started clapping. And that audience engagement, I think, really helped me out as well, because everyone was on the edge of their seat during the freestyle, and the energy of the stadium was just electric. You really had to be there and feel that energy. It was quite incredible. And so I had a boat prop, I had a canoe that I put sails on, and I painted her name on it. And we dragged that out into the arena. I did some spinning and some two tracking and some roll back. And then I took that bridle off, and we picked up a harpoon, and we threw it at our whale prop, and then we grabbed a one of those ride-on pool floaty whales.
Mm-hmm.
And I had that as my drag, and I picked it up, and we dragged the pool floaty around the arena doing simple lead changes. And then we went to our back to our boat prop, and I went and jumped over that canoe. And when I did that with the whale in tow and the bridle off, the audience just went nuts. They just started screaming their heads off. You couldn't even hear the music anymore.
That is
it was really, really fun, and really great to be able to put on that sort of a performance.
Yeah, I mean, that I saw the video, and it's just incredible. And for folks that want to see it, you can go to Camille's Facebook page, and there's a link on there that you can see her freestyle, because it was extraordinary.
Yeah, now, I had a really good time putting that on, and I think the audience likes to see you when you're having fun and the horse is doing something that they're good at. They get really involved and really raise the roof.
And a horse that's confident enough to be dragging a floaty, jump a canoe, and the crowd screaming and hollering, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, you never really know how your horse is going to react to the audience. Because that's one of the things that's kind of hard to prepare them for, is the echoes of the stadium and the cheers and the clapping.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a horse in there, and you know, they could be the brokest horse at home, and they just come unglued at the show, and they just get really rattled by the atmosphere. But I've been really lucky that she got in there, and she was just in the zone. I think she might have even enjoyed the applause from the crowd a little bit.
Probably so. You know, that positive energy they can feel for sure. Now, you said that you were a horse trainer by trade, so tell me a little bit about that side of your life.
Right. Well, I'm located in Bryan, Texas. I've taken Mustangs as most of what I do. That's what people see me doing, and that's what they recognize me with. And a lot of Mustang people want to send me their Mustangs for training, but I do take other horses in for training as well. I've trained thoroughbreds, trained quarter horses, paint horses, saddlebreds, Arabians, you name it. I've probably worked with it at least a little bit.
Right.
And I try and keep my my client horse strings pretty small so that I can give each horse the attention that they really deserve, the attention that their owner would give them. So I only take about 3 or 5 client horses in at a time to really get that personal one-on-one time with the horse. You know, a lot of huge trainers, not in the Mustang world necessarily, but a lot of these trainers will take in, you know, 12, 15 horses at a time. And then a lot of times the trainer that you're paying for isn't even the one riding your horse. It's the interns and students. And that's not the way I want to run my business. I like to, you know, put all the training on a horse myself and really put my name behind that horse and really give them the time and the attention that they deserve.
That's really awesome. Now, how can our listeners find you if they want you to train a horse?
I recommend taking a look at my my Facebook profile, my Instagram profile. You can message me from there. I'm Camille with Mustangs on Facebook, Instagram. I've got training videos up on YouTube as well. I'd take a look at that, see if my training style is really what is going to blend with you and your horse very well. So that's another thing you have to consider when sending your horse to trainers. Are they going to train in a way that that you and your horse will really blend well with? Because different trainers have different personalities, different styles.
Right.
So I'd recommend taking a look at my videos and seeing if that's the kind of training that you aspire to. And then you can shoot me an email. My email's CamilleMCC3@hotmail.com, or you can send me a message on one of my social media platforms.
All right. That sounds really good. Another thing, excuse me, that I noticed about this year's makeover, the one you were in, one of the comments was that the top 10 trainers were all between the ages of 18 and 23. And I know that the Mustang makeovers have classes for younger folks that are under 18. Did you start as a, you know, as a younger person doing Mustang makeovers?
No, I did not. I wish I had, but I didn't really hear about the Mustang makeovers until I was about 17.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was kind of just like this far-off world that was really cool, and I thought it would be really nice to do one day, but I didn't see a way to make it happen then.
Right.
I did adopt my first Mustang in 2017, right about the time I turned 18, and that was kind of my let's try this out and see how it works kind of deal. So I adopted her myself, trained her myself. Took a lot longer than I expected, and I probably wouldn't have done a very good Mustang makeover my first attempt. But I stuck it out. We made it through, and then the next year in 2018, I decided I'm going to do this Mustang makeover thing, and that's when I did my first Mustang makeover was 2018. I've been doing it ever since.
Very, very nice. It's good to see, you know, the young trainers coming on strong and learning. And I think the Mustang gives you an opportunity to learn because you're kind of dealing with a blank slate, where in traditional horse training world, you know, there's a lot of things you got to fix. So it's a good opportunity to really, really learn and understand the horse itself, because that foundation you put on the horse has to be put on you as a trainer as well, I think.
Yeah, it's really true. The horses that I get in for training sometimes have baggage, and they have habits.
Yeah.
They have poor training been put on them sometimes, and it's a million times harder to work through poor training and baggage than it is to start with a Mustang. And occasionally you'll get a Mustang that's really, really wild or has some really, really strong defensive qualities, strong flight or fight things, and those can be painstaking to overcome. But on the whole, the untouched Mustangs that I gentle are so much more of a pleasure to train and develop than something that's been mishandled or mistaught or mistreated.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. What advice would you give to young women coming into our industry? Because the horse industry is a tough place to make a living. So what would you tell folks to do?
It really is. And I spent a lot of time myself building connections, building a network of people that you can trust and people that are respectable in the industry. And so making those connections is really important, because if you you form a relationship with somebody, well, they're going to want to help you out and they're going to want to see you succeed. So that's what I would recommend young trainers to do, is, you know, reach out to the people that you look up to the people that are succeeding, to the people that, you know, are role models in the industry, and try and form that relationship so that you can have them as a mentor, have them to, you know, help you out when you need it. Another thing I'd say is be patient. I didn't start, you know, really making traction the first year that I trained horses, or the first 2 years or 3 years that I trained horses. It takes a lot of time and patience to develop yourself as a horseman. So be patient with yourself and kind of pace yourself as you go. I just started training, doing the Mustang makeovers, and then doing project horses here and there. I would say try and take your development one step at a time, and not to jump off into the deep end or bite off more than you can chew. It's a lot easier and less overwhelming of a task when you break it down bit by bit and start to, you know, take those small steps towards where you want to be.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good advice. And you've accomplished so much already in your life. What's left on your bucket list?
Well, the winning the Extreme Mustang Makeover was number one on my bucket list. And it's kind of surprising that I actually did it so soon. I always thought it would be like 10 years off, 20 years off into my future. I knew I'd get there one day if I kept packing away at it. But having that done is a little bit like, well, what do I do next? And I just picked up my Mustang for the Mustang Magic. That's an invite-only Mustang makeover, and the competition's a lot tougher than your usual Mustang makeover.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm focusing on now is the Mustang Magic. I'm hoping I do very well at it this time around. If not, I'm hoping I get another shot at it the next time around. But that's what I've got my focus on right now is continuing to work with and develop these Mustangs.
Well, we'll certainly be watching to see how your career progresses. I appreciate you being on the show. And for those out there listening, remember, follow Camille McCutcheon on Facebook or Camille's Mustangs. And you won't be sorry because you will learn a lot and you'll get to see a lot of beautiful horsemanship. So thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
And thank you guys, as always, for listening. I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed today's show. Our souls wander in similar places. Even though we may not know each other, we touch the same wind, we walk under the same sky, and our hearts wander in the same dreams. We are one, women just like you and me. Thank you for listening.